Do you ever feel emotionally disturbed, where your feelings are going up and down like a roller coaster? Maybe you feel anxious or stressed or worried or angry or annoyed, irritated. And it can go like a wave, up and down, up and down, up and down. And if we don't know how to control our emotions, then we can be run by them and it makes our life very, very unpleasant. So today we're going to be talking about how to control your emotions, why it's a good idea to control our emotions, and some methods and stories to help you feel more relaxed, feel more joy, feel more peace, feel more stable and even amidst the chaos and the wonders of life. So welcome, welcome. Hello, Shireen.
Hello, Michael.
Yay.
We are so blessed.
We are so blessed. Good to see you.
I am the most fortunate person in the entire planet Earth.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because you have mastered your emotions. You're taking responsibility for your life, aren't you? Yay. So
I just feel fortunate.
You are fortunate. We're very fortunate. And one of the things that makes us fortunate is just recognizing our fortune and realizing all the power that we actually have. And so before we jump into this briefly, if anyone doesn't know who we are spiritual teachers, Shireen and I. Shireen lives in a retreat meditation center place where she's doing retreats, meditation classes, courses, and all these things. She has 30 years experience to 20,000 hours meditation experience. And she has been focusing on mastering her thoughts and feelings for a very long time. So we're very lucky to have you. And I've been 25 years on a spiritual path and many, many, many countless thousands of hours of meditation as well. So that's why we're qualified to talk about this stuff. All right, let's jump into it, Shireen. So tell us about your journey of controlling your feelings, mastering your emotions. When did that start for you?
One day, I was so stressed, right? I was full-time job. I was faculty at the University of South Florida here. And I was full-time taking care of a center and then whatever goes on at home, right?
Yeah, all three of these different things were happening. Yeah.
Three different things were going on, and I was so stressed. You will not believe how stressed I was. Life was not fun. Life was not easy because I made it not fun. I made it not easy because everything, I was taking everything in, right? Mm. And I was just not comfortable with who I was. Mm. And it could be because you're in your 20s also, right? Your 20s, 30s, early 30s. And so at that point, I had a realization. I had a realization. So someone asked me to do something, actually. Someone asked me to do something. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do in that situation, right? They wanted something from me. And I was so used to not only running the center here, but also taking directions from my elders, right? And so I didn't know what to do, and I called one of my elders up, and I said, okay, I don't know what to do in this situation. They want this from me, right? And then when I called, I thought, this is so ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. I have to live with myself forever and ever. Eternity, I have to live with myself. Why couldn't I make that decision on my own? Why did I have to ask someone else? Because ultimately, whatever I decide, I have to be able to live with that decision. Because they're not going to come and live my life for me. And so even though it was seemed a very simple thing, it was a very deep and profound realization I had. The first realization is I have to live with myself for eternity. I have to be very comfortable with who I am. And second is, any decision I make, any feelings I have, any emotions I have to live with it. That is when slowly things started shifting. The first thing that happened is I started trusting myself more. And the second thing that happened is I started extending feelings of friendship towards myself. Mm. I can be my own friend. And that feelings of friendship towards myself, right? Looking at myself as a friend of me, my own friend. And trusting myself and just being with myself. That's when I think my emotional imbalances started shifting. That feelings of friendship towards the self, trusting myself, understanding I have to be with myself for eternity, that shifted the emotions.
What a magical moment. It's funny how these situations can trigger something that has a lifelong effect. So what have you done since then to develop that in yourself, that the good feelings and taking responsibility for your feelings?
You know, taking responsibility for my feelings, the first thing really is feeling good about myself, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever emotions I have, not only living them if I'm feeling bad or whatever, I'm not, you know, spiritual bypassing, but I'm living them. I'm just accepting that that's what it is. And the second one is just feeling good. Like, just, it doesn't matter. Take 10 minutes out of my day, right? I used to take 10 minutes out of my day and just feel good about who I am.
So how did you do that? Because that sounds, it's like saying to someone else hearing that, they might say like, the only, like someone, imagine someone doesn't have any money and someone says, all you need is a $10 million. And they're like, yeah, but how am I going to get $10 million? So what did you do to feel good?
Okay, so one thing is our wisdom tells us we are spiritual beings. And not only that, I'm a spiritual being and this is my body. But as a spiritual being, originally my nature is pure and peaceful and loving and blissful and all of that. That is who I am originally, right? If, let's say I'm feeling bad, there's mud. And the mud is making me feel bad. Like, let's say anger is making me feel bad. Frustration is making me feel bad. Ego is making me feel bad. All of that's happening externally. And so just for 10 minutes to go back to your original self, I used to go back to my original self and say, whatever emotions that are going on, whatever things are going on, that is external to me. That's not me. Originally, innately, intrinsically, I am a pure, peaceful, loving soul. And I can have love for myself in this moment because I can love that pure, peaceful soul.
So you see yourself as a being of light?
I see myself as a being of light. I see myself as peace, right? That just for these 10 minutes, there's no conflict, there's no desire. Just for these few moments, can I just experience peace? Just be very quiet, very still. I feel that is what, like you're spending time with your original self.
So you're cultivating good feelings on purpose to kind of counterbalance all of the other stuff that otherwise might be going on.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things, another thing that I feel it's important to understand about emotions is that whatever is going on inside, right? Whether I'm feeling bad, sad, mad, whatever, right? Whatever is happening inside, that I take a few moments and acknowledge that that's happening. right? Don't feel, oh, why am I feeling sad? Why am I feeling bad? Why, whatever. Take a few moments and acknowledge that. And the second thing is learn to be neutral, just neutral. I think if anything, right, if I would say the biggest thing that has helped me acknowledge what's happening with my emotions and overcome taking responsibility is be neutral, is to be neutral. It's like the one thing I would tell people, learn to be neutral. It's a learned behavior. If you're not neutral, don't worry about it. We can learn to do it. Learn to be neutral.
Because normally what happens is that we feel, it's a double whammy, right? So we feel bad and then we think, well, I shouldn't be feeling bad. So then that makes it worse. So you're saying that you say, so you stop and say, I'm feeling bad, I'm feeling weird, and I'm just going to be neutral. I'm just going to see it as if it's happening to someone else almost, like it just is happening.
Yes. Right. Don't feel bad that you're feeling bad.
Just say, well, yeah.
Or don't feel bad that you're feeling sad, or don't feel bad that you're going crazy.
Right. It just is just what it is.
Just be neutral.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it
Neutrality is so important. It's an underestimated aspect of the soul that people don't know. We have this amazing tool.
Yeah.
I don't need to have an opinion, whether it's someone else or even me. I don't need to have an opinion.
Yeah. I find that what helps me do that is to imagine it happening to somebody else, because we tend to be more neutral about events happening elsewhere. Like if you hear some story about some random thing happening far away from, and maybe even in the past, like, oh, 300 years ago, so-and-so, something, you know, you're just like, all right, what's it got to do with me? It doesn't have that charge about it, the same as if it's happening to us personally. So we can say, I see. All right, well, there it is. That it is what it is. So instead of, because when we label it and we resist it, then it tends to expand the negative feelings, and then it creates a spiral. And oh, I shouldn't be feeling this. I am feeling it. I don't like feeling it. And it goes round and round and round and round and round. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until something explodes or acting out or trying to distract it. And none of that really is helping resolve the actual feelings, the emotions.
You know, another aspect of emotions is I feel our whole culture, right, the whole world, the culture of the whole world is dependent on external.
Mm-hmm.
What someone else is doing, looking at someone else, watching a movie, it's all something out there, mm-hmm. right? No one is spending time with themselves. Like you're watching a game, you're watching a movie, you're watching this, you're watching a TV series, you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about someone else, you're looking at someone else, you're thinking this one should change, and you're thinking the weather shouldn't be this way. It's always external, always external. And so when are we spending time with the self? I really feel to get a handle on our emotions, to take responsibility, I need to start spending time with the original self, with the soul.
Mm.
Not, I mean, time with the self, it doesn't mean,
pedicure, manicure.
Yeah, pedicure, manicure, or, thinking, oh, I like this or I don't like this. I belong to this party. I don't like this party. Whatever, right? That's not what it is. Like people, profit, right? Actual profit, money profit, mm-hmm. is based on you spending time outside of yourself. And so everyone is going to do this. Go out, do this. You want this. And you have to fight against all of that and say, no, go in. Because many people think, oh, they go in and they'll find this horrible stuff and there'll be this shadow and they'll be horrible and they're whatever. It's not like that. That's just the surface. You go a little deeper, you'll realize how beautiful you are. Whatever these emotions you're feeling, whatever is happening is just on the surface. And you can't go in if you don't take responsibility, actually.
That's right. So the responsibility leads to doing the work, basically, of making the changes. And instead of, because the opposite of responsibility is blame, isn't it, really? Either I'm responsible or someone else is, or I'm blaming someone else for how I feel. Like there's the expression, you made me do that, you made me feel that, you know, you made me, this is like in the language. He made me do that, she made me do that. But what we're saying is, let us take responsibility for how we feel ourselves and stop thinking someone else. Or if this happens, if that happens, if something changes, then I'll feel good. I mean, the irony, of course, is that it doesn't necessarily guarantee when we get what we want, it doesn't guarantee we will feel good. That's the strange thing. Like today is Black Friday, right? Well, today we're recording this. So, of course, baby, let's get some stuff, right? So everyone's buying all this stuff. I admit I bought some stuff as well.
I know, right? That was so unusual, Michael.
I know.
Like doing shopping like that. I was like, what? No. What happened to my brother, Michael?
Thinking of getting a fancy juicer today, right? So let's say I buy this juicer, right? I don't have a juicer. I'm going to get another one. Let's say I buy it, right? I don't know. I haven't decided. It's going to come in the box, in a box. I'll have to unload it, and then it'll sit on the counter. Is it going to bring me a lot of long-term joy? Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. Not really. Do you know what I mean? Because it's...
I have the same juicer you're going to buy, and I don't have any joy from it.
You don't use it enough. But even if you did, is it... It's still an internal thing.
But
do you know what I mean? It's... Some things, like, they do bring joy temporarily, but at the end of the day, if we want to have a good life, we want to be able to have a continuous stream of good feelings coming from within our heart and our mind. And that isn't going to come from waiting around for the outside to change. And it comes down to the thoughts. What I've personally noticed is that wherever my focus is, that directs my feeling state. The focus I have... So if I'm focused on my original joy, my original well-being, then I'll feel great. If my focus is on something else, if the thing I'm focusing on makes me happy, I might feel good, but it could go wrong. Like I might be going, oh, this is working right. Well, everything's going great, and then it stops going great, and I'm still focused on it, and now I'm receiving negative energy from it, because our focus, the yoga, you know, we talk about... In Raj Yoga meditation, Raj Yoga, the yoga part of that doesn't mean downward dog and, you know, all those sorts of things.
Those are asanas.
Yeah, but yeah. Most people think that's what yoga is. But it's yoga means where do we focus our energy? Where is our focusing? Where is our intellect? Where is our energy going towards? So if I'm looking at this pen, then I'm having yoga with the pen. You know, and if this is a nice pen and I like the pen, I might feel some good from this, you know. But a lot of the time we're having yoga with things external, like you're saying, and they might give us temporary benefit, but they're unreliable. You know, like what happens if this pen breaks, you know, or it runs out of ink or something, then I'll get upset about it. And then now my yoga has become painful. So, you know, so if we focus on internal and divine yoga, then we're getting a stream of good energy that's like self-perpetuating, self-generating good vibrations, which we can then send out. And that can reduce the negative influence of other things coming in. You know, so in other words, if we're receiving good vibrations, thinking good thoughts, and sending out good energy, that protects us from getting upset.
You know, this thing, it's interesting you're talking about yoga. And one thing we need to understand, which is mentioned occasionally in our teachings, is you cannot get imperishable happiness from perishable things.
Hmm.
right? We all emotionally, feeling-wise, we all want to have good emotions. We all want to have good feelings. Everyone, right? They want to have good feelings. They want to have good emotions. But they are looking at our things outside, right? Which are perishable things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's take this thing in this little cup is going to give me happiness, but it's a perishable thing. It's not always going to exist. So it's a perishable thing. But I'm looking for really good feelings, lots of good feelings from perishable things. So I'm looking for kind of like an imperishable joy from a perishable object. So how can that match? That's not going to match. You can't get imperishable happiness from perishable things.
Yeah.
And so that is why it's so important to think about imperishable things like the soul, like going inside and really reflecting on who you are, being friends with yourself, looking at your true self. All of those things are so important for emotional well-being. And so sometimes I feel we are not taking responsibility for emotions because we are escaping. It's too painful. It's too painful to do it. But I feel we are not doing it right. It's like the tools we are using is not right. If we use these tools of focusing on the imperishable soul, really reflecting on these things, then the tools, those are the right tools.
Yeah, well, it's easier in the moment to escape, isn't it? Because let's say we feel anything, right? Any emotion that comes up, let's say it's anxiety or worry or something. There's a few different ways we can deal with it. One is suppression. You can push it down, the feeling. The other is repression, where you don't even know it happened and you stuff it down straight away. And then there's escapism, right? And then we can also act out, right? So we've got these four methods that don't work very well. And that tends to be what happens pretty much all day long. Escaping, suppressing, repressing, or acting something out, you know, trying to change it. And there's whole industries around this stuff. Like escapism is a massive, massive, massive industry, isn't it, really? Think about it. So instead of that,
it does take courage
for us to say, let me just feel my feelings and let me be with myself and let me change my thoughts around this situation, you know. So let's imagine, Shireen, let's say one of our lovely listeners is feeling anxious, right? What should she do to change it?
Okay, the one thing that you said just now is about blaming.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, right? Don't blame anything external for your anxiousness. I'm feeling anxious because of my work. I'm feeling anxious because of my health. I feel anxious because of my family. No. It is a feeling you have inside of yourself. And you have a choice not to feel that, even if whatever is happening externally is happening. That's the first thing. You don't blame external situations for whatever you're feeling. That is the first step in taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Is you acknowledge that this is my feeling, so I'm feeling it. And it's not because of that, right? That's the first step. Second step is to really be friends with the self. Original self, right? You're a pure, peaceful soul. That is who you are. Anxiousness, all of this is an external thing. It's the mud around the soul. That's not you. So go back to being this pure, peaceful soul. And remember that joy is your original nature. And just keep doing it. Keep doing it till you feel it, because you will feel it at some point.
Right. Yeah. So you can think, for example, you can see yourself as a happy soul. I think it's useful to use images like a smiling star with a big smile. Look at Shireen's smile. Shireen has a great smile. So imagine Shireen smiling, right? But just imagine yourself as a smiling soul, right? So you're not just this light, but you're a smiling, happy light, you know, wee, wee, wee. And then you can think infinite joy, or happiness, peace, peace. So I think one of the things we have to take responsibility for is that we all respond to different words, different images differently. We have to create, there's an expression, grind your own ingredients for intoxication, right? You have to think, what are the ingredients? And you grind them, you know, like when people are producing like potions and stuff and various magic tonics and, you know, intoxicating substances. So we're talking about internal spiritual intoxication. What are the thoughts? What are the images? What are the words that you can think in your own mind and in your own heart that are going to produce good feelings? This is the deep inner work, is to figure out what that is for you. Because we can give you suggestions, like, for example, I like the word infinite joy. I feel better as soon as I think of infinite joy. Ah, it's the best, right? It has an emotional effect on me, thinking infinite joy. But that's because I've thought this thousands of times, so it kind of triggers something inside of me. But that might not work for someone else. They might be better off thinking, I'm a soul, or infinite peace, or divine love, or everything's okay, or safe and secure. So it's very important that you come up with your own list of little magic potions internally, and you use them again and again and again. So let's just tune into, what do we have to work with? We have our focusing power, right? So if you focus on something you don't want to happen and you're freaked out about, it's going to cause negative feelings. If we focus on internal, eternal states of consciousness, that's something that's imperishable. And then we have images in our mind, just like we can see with our eyes, you can see inside. And then we have words. And then we have feeling states, and they're all connected, and they're all flowing around inside here somewhere. We have to look inside of us, and our heart, by the way, and mind and heart are connected. So if you think something, you feel something, you feel something, you think something. So we encourage you to think about, what are those special potions, those magic mantras that does the job for you, that actually makes a shift? And it doesn't necessarily do anything right away. It does it after a while, when you do it long enough. So I sometimes have a mala bead, right, the 108 beads, and I might think the same thought again and again and again and again and again and again and again. My favorite one, actually, is I had such a powerful experience. I did this like 5 or 6 rounds, and I was thinking, everyone has already attained everything. That is one of the most powerful statements I think I've ever come across, because it's just holding the highest final state, that everyone is totally fine, I'm totally fine, everyone's attained everything. It's like this final stage. That's a bit of advanced practice, actually, but I'm just sharing some of these things to give you an idea. So you have to think, what are these thoughts that are gonna just give you that charge? And how can you spend time repeating that again and again and again and again until it turns into an experience? And once it's an experience, then you can come back to it quite quickly. And then you're less likely to get upset in the first place. But if you do get upset, then you can come back to that and overcome the feeling. So Shireen, what are your magic mantras? You can share at least one of them with us.
No, I'm thinking about something else, actually. Right. I'm sorry. I'm going to answer that question. But I want to think about this one thing that the world politically and people in general want to tell you that you're a victim, right? And somehow they feel that, and people feel that, I'm sure it's none of our listeners, but some people feel that being a victim is like the highest status in today's society, right? Oh my God, they're such a victim. You know, coming from India, I used to find it so weird, right? Oh, he's a serial killer. Oh, he's a serial killer because he was abused as a child. He was a victim, blah, blah, right? Like, he's a serial killer. Yeah. Like, so many people were abused as a child. They didn't all become serial killers. Why can't people take responsibility for this, right? Right? Exactly. Right? Why, like,
someone
people...
else give you something? Yeah, they should. Something happened. Yeah, it's like, yeah, a big... Like the what's it called? The oppression Olympics, I think, is the expression for it. But anyway.
Right. Yeah. So what happens is, if you keep playing victim... Anyone who's playing victim, I'm not saying our listeners are. If I keep playing victim, right, these emotions are happening, I'm anxious because someone else, you're like subtly playing victim, mm-hmm. you are totally disempowering yourself. And you're so powerful, you are so powerful that if you decide to play victim, if that's your archetype, right? That's your emotional state. This is what you want to do, because everyone else, someone was a victim, they got attention, they got everything, and I have to work for everything. No, that is not, you know, that's just very temporary. But let's say you, like, I have decided playing victim is getting me what I want, right? Mm-hmm. Not only is it disempowering in the short term, but because I decided to play victim, I will attract victim kind of situations into my life. Because I'm so powerful, I'll attract a tyrant. I will attract someone who's going to victimize me, because I'm a very powerful being. We are all very powerful souls. So victim, really, if you think of, you know, if in a school play, there's a hero, there's a, you know, heroine, all of those, right? Victim is a very small role. It's a very small role. Because you play victim, you will attract those kinds of situations into your life. You decide, I will take responsibility for my emotions. I am going to take responsibility for my joy. I know how to have joy. I'm going to use these mantras, these potions, to experience joy in my life. You will see, you will have situations in your life that will be joyful, because we are that powerful.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. That's what you're focused on. You're commanding that success and freedom and good feelings belong to you. And right. that sets the stage for that happening in the great drama of life, the great play of life. But if we say, oh, it's not my fault, someone else, blah, 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 nothing I can do about it, then we're going to attract all those situations to us. And then we'll say, oh, see, I was right about this, and look how terrible it was, and it wasn't my fault. It's really an awful life.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, yeah. Right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we don't even realize we are doing that.
Yeah.
We don't realize how powerful we are, that we are attracting these situations into our life.
Yeah, I remember this guy I used to know. He was a classic example of this. Always someone else's fault for everything, right? But he was really egging people on to be annoying. Like, he was so annoying to people that they had to, like, stop hanging out with him after a while. But he always said it had nothing to do with him. It was so. One time, he stayed at my house one time, right? We had this three-story house. And out of the top, one of the top windows, there was a tree. And he wanted me to take a picture of him jumping out the window onto a tree. This is where we were, like, 8, 6, 17 or something. So I went outside, and he jumped out the third-story window onto a tree, right? And... what a nutcase, really.
And no one thought that was not a good idea.
No, we all thought that was a great idea.
17-year-olds. Oh, my God.
And, but I think he sort of blamed the tree for not being quite right, as he kind of fell down the tree and hurt himself and scratched himself. I mean, he was actually wasn't that. But he didn't blame himself for jumping out the window. He blamed the tree for not his fall not being quite the way he wanted it to be. I'm just like, we can do this in so many situations, and some of it's quite comical like that. So, Yeah, but playing the victim. If we want to master our emotions, we have to stop being a victim. You're right. That's like a prerequisite to anything else being possible, really, isn't it?
Right, right. So now onto your question of what is my things. Nowadays, fun and easy. Life is fun and easy. I am blessed. I have all kinds of attainments in my life. I'm so fortunate. I won the spiritual lottery. What else? Those are several. Yeah,
that's great. That's a lot there. That's a lot there. So when you do that, so let's, because what I've noticed that the value in these sorts of things. So just pick one of those, right? Let's just walk someone through this because you're a spiritual teacher. You've done this a long time, right? So let's imagine something happens in your life that isn't as you'd like it to be, and it brings up some emotional reaction to some degree, just happens naturally, you know, because we respond without, like, a lot of the time emotional response to things happens in an instant before we even think about it, right? It's just like instant response. So let's say something like that happens, what are you going to do so you're not taken advantage of by your feelings?
That whatever is happening is external. Because something is happening external, I don't need to mess up what's happening internally,
mm-hmm.
right? Let external things be external. Internally, I'm safe, I'm pure, I'm protected, I'm fine. That's external.
Yeah.
So that's very good. So I'm pure, I'm protected, I am good. I'm really good. I'm doing good, I'm having a good day. Life is good. So however you want to frame that, you can frame that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Yeah. So we have to, one of the ways of taking responsibility is we have to take responsibility to figure out what is going to work for us personally. Right? Because even, like, there's loads of books. Serena and I have spent, you know, so many years reading and studying different, like, we're very studious people with massive amounts of knowledge, right? But out of all those things, we have to figure out what is the thing that's going to give me intoxication and do the job. And it might change, by the way, because we try stuff out and it might not work after a while. You might be like, how come this thing I used to do doesn't work? Because you need a new one. And we really need, I think, at least five different methods that do the job. You start with one, but you want to build this up over time. So just think about this for yourself. What is something, next time you get triggered and emotional, what are you going to do? It's a good question to ask, right? Because when we prepare ourselves for this stuff, it's better. I remember I had a client, because I would do coaching and stuff like that, and she said to me, what am I supposed to do when all these things in my life go horribly wrong and nothing works out? And I said to her, it's too late at that point, actually. Like, you can't just say, but when everything falls apart, what are you... I mean, you have to do something when it falls apart. But really, what would be more useful is to say, how can I prepare myself so that before anything happens, I already know that bad things are going to happen in life and I can do something to change it in my thoughts. That's much, much, much better. That's taking responsibility. We know something's going to happen. So what are we going to do beforehand so that when it does happen, it's not like, oh, it happened again. Oh, how could this happen? Of course things are going to go wrong. And what do you expect? This is a crazy world. It's not like everything's going to be hunky-dory. Ooh, everything's great. So sensible person says, look, I need to prepare myself every day so that when things do happen, they're not a big deal. So that's something to think about from this episode today. What can you do to master your thoughts and feelings, to create mantras in your mind so that you are in a good space more and more and more and more? And then when something does happen, you're like, you know what? It's fun and easy. It's ease and grace. Everything's fine. I'm safe. And instead of it being this massive roller coaster, it's just like a little blip that comes up and it goes down and it's all good. So there it is. Yay. Let's have a blessing.
Yay. Blessing number
28.
Determination. So, all of you still listening, thank you for being here.
Shereen, let's have a look at that book.
We really appreciate you being here. God's blessings for you.
By who?
By someone called Shereen Chadha.
Yes, we like this Shereen Chadha book. So, go ahead. So, blessing. What is the point of a blessing? In case anyone's wondering, like, what is all these blessings about? What is a blessing? And why do we read blessings?
Because they make us feel good, and making us feel good is everything it's cracked up to be.
All right, there it is.
It's everything. Feeling good is everything. It is everything. Really. But and it has to be a sustainable feeling good, right? Not like, oh, I go have a drink and I'll feel good, but then you keep having drinks and then you don't feel that good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you let determination, you let the light of your being illuminate who you are and fill you with courage, remaining blissfully disciplined in pursuit of your purpose. Despite the obstacles, you keep your trust alive, stay tenacious, and are rewarded with joy.
Ah, what a blessing.
Stay tenacious and you're rewarded with joy.
Yay.
Tenacity.
Hardcore. So the more hardcore you are, the more happiness you'll have. That's the strange irony of life. Yay. Well, have a beautiful week. Thank you, Shereen, for your lovely presence.
Thank you, Michael. It was wonderful. Fun and easy.
Fun and games. Much love. Talk to you next time. Many blessings.